Michelle Tsai is an American-born, Beijing-based freelance writer. Earlier this month, she wrote a feature article for Slate.com examining the problems of sex education in China, and she joins me now on the line from Beijing. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Xian.
Hi.
I'm here.
So let's get right into this. You start off your piece with an anecdote about a college-aged woman named Hu Jing and her first experience with a condom. Tell us Hu Jing's story.
She tells me that she had been with her college boyfriend about a year or so, and they decided they were finally going to have sex. And this was a big deal because, you know, even as of today, even as Chinese people are getting more and more westernized and becoming more liberal in many ways, virginity is still prized by many people. And so Hu Jing decides that she and her boyfriend are ready to have sex, and they just have this one small problem, which is that they knew they were supposed to use a condom, but they didn't know how. So off they go to look for answers, and this was after they had rented a room to have some privacy. So the boyfriend goes to his friends and asks, you know, what advice they might have. And she goes to the library. She's looking through books. She's looking through literary classics from the Qing Dynasty. And the second week comes, and they sort of get the room again. And it's funny to tell the story. They managed to roll on the condom this time, but then they had a little bit of problem proceeding from there. Anyhow, they do a little bit more research, and finally they succeed the third try the week after that. It's a pretty funny anecdote, and she's laughing the whole time that she's telling this, but it's actually quite representative of some young Chinese students and teens as far as the desire that they have to learn more about sex, but the lack of knowledge that they face.
Right. Even when they want to find out information about sex, they have to go back to literary classics to figure out how to put on a condom.
Right. And you know, who is not, she's not a shy girl. I wish she could be on the call with us right now. She's very bubbly, very outspoken, and she was happy to tell me about how when she was in grade school, she would comb through her parents' belongings and take out their porn and sort of flip through that and laugh at it with friends. So she's not a shy girl, and I'm pretty sure that if she had answers that she could easily find, she wouldn't have had such trouble first time around.
So give us some context for this, Michelle. Why is talking about sex so taboo in China?
For a long time, there's been a traditional culture which sort of prizes family and responsibility to society over the individual, and that sort of is how you get some more conservative values around sex. So in the West, where conservative values around sex might come from religion, in China, it really comes from sort of the idea of an individual and how he or she fits into society. And even though in Chinese history and in literature in the past, there has been a lot of information, or at least literature, a lot of erotica, that hasn't been the case for much of the 20th century, especially with the Cultural Revolution. And it wasn't really until the past, you know, decade or two that sex became more of a topic that you could talk about. But even today, it's not something that people are always very open about either.
So based on
go ahead.
So I was going to say, based on your piece and other pieces that have come out actually about your piece, I understand that the level of sex education varies from province to province in China and from rural to urban areas. But can you give us a general impression of how sex education is taught to teenagers in, say, Beijing?
Sure. I would say that teenagers in Beijing probably have it the best. Junior high schools might have something like 8 hours of instruction, and that's probably something along the lines of, learning about the reproductive system, how the body works. There's probably no actual conversation about preventing pregnancy, probably nothing, not much about STDs at all. And in high school, there might be a little bit more, but still not really anything that directly addresses contraception. And of course, it depends on the school and the particular teacher. I talked to a professor at China Capital Normal University, who trains a lot of middle school teachers to teach this subject. And she says that they're quite shy and many are conservative, and they haven't quite bought into the idea of sex education for young children, for adolescents, for teens necessarily. And even in college, if you go to the best schools, for example, I talked to students from Tsinghua University, which is basically their best sort of technical university. It's like MIT in the U.S. So at Tsinghua, they do receive what you and I probably think of as a typical session on sex education. So how to use a condom. Everyone practices putting a condom on a banana or a cucumber, but that's not how it is for most universities. And the further you get from Beijing, the further you get away from the wealthier East Coast and the major cities, the less people tend to know. And this isn't because the government doesn't support sex education. The government does. In 1988, the Ministry of Education actually introduced a general policy of having sex education in school. However, there were no specific guidelines, and so it wasn't exactly strictly enforced. And in 2003, the Ministry of Education again published a curriculum on HIV and AIDS and also anti-drug policies in schools. But again, whether that's carried out in each and every school, that's much harder to say.
Michelle, we talk about the high abortion rate in China. That's not unrelated to a dearth of sex education, and the lack of education and language around contraception and abortion. Obviously, it's physically traumatic for the women who do undergo an abortion, sometimes more than once. What are the emotional and psychological repercussions of those who don't even have the language to talk about it?
Well, I know you're asking about emotional, psychological repercussions, but before I get to that, I want to first address that many of the women who get abortions end up having repeat abortions because there's no education in the process about how to prevent pregnancy.
Right.
So it's fairly easy to get an abortion in China. I think it costs something like $85 or $90 to get an abortion at a public hospital, and in some places you can get one for free. But there's no information that's given to women about how to prevent this from happening again, how to control your cycle, and how to make sure your partner agrees with using the condom. So that's point number one. And as far as the emotional and psychological issues here, I would say that young Chinese women have a lot to deal with, in part because of what I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, the fact that many men still actually want to marry a girl who's never had sex before, that virginity is prized, and that people are beginning to have sex, but they're not supposed to use, or not supposed to, but people are not necessarily supportive of using contraception with their partners, or perhaps they don't have the conversation. That definitely puts young women in a very difficult position.
My time is short with you here. I want to get to two or three more items if I can. Let me see if we can get through this. I want to talk about some of the places where these girls and guys in China could get educated around sex. I mean, the internet seems to be an obvious place to start, for better or for worse, but China's internet firewalls are notorious. How much information is available to young Chinese kids online?
There's a ton of information online, but the question is whether or not it's reliable, and that's actually something the government is trying to deal with, partly through censorship and limiting the organizations that are allowed to provide information. So as of this summer, the government basically decided that only officially recognized organizations recognized by the government are allowed to put forth information online about sex. And in this way, this is part of sort of the general Chinese government crackdown on pornography. But this also means that you don't really have a way of knowing whether proper information is being prevented, or whether it's merely wrong information that's being prevented from being online. Although I would say that it's also very difficult to say how successful the government is in enforcing these policies. So A lot of people end up going to bulletin board systems. BBS is basically chat boards where they post questions and other people answer. These answers might come from experts who monitor these boards, or these answers might come from fellow students who may or may not know enough. So you can go online and get a lot of information. Certainly people go online to confess, but it's unclear how much of the in-depth information is really available to people.
Is there a positive to this story at all? I mean, are there special interest groups trying to promote more openness when it comes to talking about sex and therefore an upshot?
I think that there are lots of groups available, and they're mostly reaching out to the people who really need the information the most. So that would be migrant workers, people who live in the countryside and don't have access to the internet or just to many sources of information. But I think that young Chinese in particular are very adept at finding information they need to and navigating around the Great Firewall as they need to. And I want to point out that this sort of interest in sex and sexuality has actually prompted an entrepreneur in the southwest city of Chongqing to actually come up with a sex-themed amusement park this spring. It's called it was called Loveland, and it was to teach visitors about reproduction, about sex, to help adults enjoy, you know, the so-called harmonious sex life, with exhibits about the history of sex, sexual practices in other countries. And the only snag in this was that as soon as the park manager started to talk about the theme park, it made headlines all around the world. And by the next week, the government had sort of shut down its plans. So unfortunately, that park isn't going to open as far as I know. But this does show that there's a great interest and people are curious. And then, you know, we haven't talked about this yet, but the way that young people view sex and relationships is very, very similar to how we in the West view sex and relationships. So it's not that things are completely different at all.
Well, it may be the land of love, but for now, no Loveland. Michelle, thank you for this, and look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, Gian.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Michelle Tsai. She's a freelance writer based out of Beijing, where we reached her. Her latest piece around this subject is at slate.com.